Good morning, everybody. Appreciate the songs that Colin picked out today for our worship. Very appropriate and very fitting for the topic of our lesson. We're going to look this morning at a topic from Matthew, the 28th chapter. I appreciate Dick reading the scripture this morning. And he went back a little bit, and right before this, what we refer to as the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All authority has been given me." And so when Jesus gives this statement to the apostles, it is with authority. And it is as applicable for us today as it was to the apostles that day. And Christians have been carrying this out ever since. And as a result, somebody has preached the gospel to us, and we have been saved. Matthew 28, starting in verse 19, it says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." I would like for us to look at this passage, and if you had a chance to get a handout, we're going to be following that. We're just breaking this down. We are looking at this phrase by phrase to see what it truly means. Jesus gave this command before he ascended back into heaven to his apostles, but it applies to us. It's really nice to think that it applies for somebody else, but it applies for us. Starts out, "Go therefore." This is action. It's a command, and it takes effort. It is not something that can be done just sitting on your backside. Jesus is telling them to go therefore. They're going to be taking the word of God to others. Now, we're going to look at that "go" can be right around the corner, and "go" can mean on the other side of the world. But it does take effort. And it is an action word, and it is a command. He says, "Make disciples." They should understand that because they were disciples of Jesus. They understood what a disciple was. A disciple is a disciplined follower. Not the crowds that followed Jesus for the food, for the healings. They weren't disciples. There is a big difference. There could have been a huge crowd surrounding Jesus at any given time. It wasn't necessarily that they were disciples. They might have been there for the healing of a relative. They might have been there because Jesus was passing out free food. It might have been just out of curiosity. "This guy last week did something I heard. I wonder what he's going to do now." Just because crowds were around Jesus, it didn't mean that they were disciples. The people that he is talking to in this passage, they are disciples. They followed him. And what categorized them as a disciple, they lived their lives following his teaching. They were altered. They were changed by the teachings and the example that he gave. And Jesus says, make disciples. Not just go baptize people. Not just a baptism factory of dunking them and sending them on their way. It's not the Henry Ford mass production assembly line concept. I'll tell you what it wasn't was that. It wasn't just dunking them and go. Here's a cookie on your way out. Make disciples of these people. Make disciples. Who? Of all nations. Of all nations. As I look in this crowd, we have such a variety of people, and I love it. We have every age group. We have every background. Not all the people here were born and raised in Las Vegas. We come with a rich variety of backgrounds. We've got different, not only age groups, but different genders. We've got different likes and dislikes, different races, you name it. Make disciples of all the nations. That's all people. They're going to get a little hung up on that one in a little bit in the Bible, because you mean we got to teach people other than Jews? You mean the gospel was for people other than Jews? Peter's going to have a little hang up on that one. And we'll have to be one of these, Peter, listen, I'm talking to you. But it starts with you. Before we can go and teach, we've got to be disciples. It starts with us. Before we can teach anybody, we've got to make sure we're a disciple. We have to make sure we know the word. Now, are we going to know the word later on better? Yes. We don't have to know every single thing about it to teach somebody about Jesus. But it starts with us, with you, individually, your family. Go, therefore, make disciples of your family. Who more precious is there in your life that you would want the good news of the gospel, of salvation, more than your family? You've got everyone has a sphere of influence. Some of them are bigger than others. People we work with, the neighbors we encounter every day, maybe chat with out in the driveway, going to or from work or mowing the yard. People that we cross paths with every day. That sphere of influence. And I'll tell you, with communications the way it is now, you can be a stay-at-home mom or a retired person and never leave the four walls of your house and still have a sphere of influence. Make disciples here at South Valley. Here. To build each other up. To nurture, to strengthen us so we can do that. And then it goes out farther than that. I've lost track. I think it's probably 3, 4, maybe 5 years that Dick has been going at least once a month, preaching the word of God to the Christians in Pahrump. He's literally taking the go therefore. He's taking it literally. Thank you, Dick. We're preaching the word from this location in Pahrump. We're preaching it in Texas. Our sister Caitlin, she is influencing and spreading the gospel to people in Texas with other missionaries. Our efforts are being felt in Mexico. Our efforts are being felt in Kenya. I'll tell you, there's not much time that goes by. If you keep up with David Marub's work in Kenya, and I can't pronounce the name of the Church of Christ that he is involved in, but they are active. And there's not too much time that goes by that they're not having a baptism. They are seeking and saving the lost, and we're helping do that in Kenya. Brother Malcolm Parsley has been preaching and teaching in South Korea longer than I've been alive. You don't have to laugh at that one. I mean, yeah, it's getting up there. But he's been there since the 1950s. Of all the nations, how do we do it? We do it through teaching, through Bible studies and so forth. But one of the biggest thing is we open the door personally. We could stand out on the corner and just preach using an amplifier or a megaphone. We could preach the Word of God on the corner to whoever would listen. But I'll tell you, it's our influence and our example that opens that door for the credibility of the gospel. For the credibility for people to listen to us. And it's the way we conduct ourselves. And this is a scary thought right here, that by the way we conduct ourselves through our language, the way we talk, the things we talk about, the language we use, etc., the ethics that we use at work. I tell you, I know a number of you are business owners. What a credit to the gospel when you deal honestly with people. Could you imagine a business owner that wheels and deals and is a shyster, and then they try to get you to come to church, and you're thinking, by the way you conduct yourself, cheating and lying and scheming, thank you, but no thanks. Or by the way we conduct ourselves at work, as an employee, cheating the employer for hours, cheating the employee through theft, cheating the employer through not giving our best at work. We've agreed to give them our best. When we show up every day, we're agreeing they will get our best. And in exchange, we get a paycheck. We've agreed we will give them our best. We can open doors through our ethics, through our conduct, through our attitude. Attitude is a big one. We impress people with our attitude, how we can get through things. When something negative hits our lives or hits at work, the attitude in which we deal with it, that's impressive to people. And we can gain a lot of credibility when it gets to that Bible study by what they've seen in us before it ever gets to a Bible study. How do we do that? We teach them through Bible studies. Have you ever been at work and you're kind of the Bible answer king or queen, to where if there's something comes up at lunch, or employees are getting in a discussion and they come running to you, well, so and so will know, you get all the religious questions are directed to you. We can provide tracks to them. You don't have to get up in front of people. It's scary. Trust me. It is scary. I think that's why I've got knee problems. It wasn't football. It wasn't the running. It was the knees knocking together. Wore them down. But we can provide tracks to someone. You don't have to provide a lesson. Here's a track. We've got so many tracks back there. Brother Hugh would love it if you took them and passed them out. God would love it. But Brother Hugh would love it that all those tracks he orders, that we're actually using them. We can invite somebody. I'll tell you, don't ever underestimate the power of just inviting somebody. Just inviting them. Making them feel welcome that you're wanted in a worship assembly. Goes on to say, baptizing them. Doesn't say baptize them first. Make disciples of people. The baptism will come. You make followers of Jesus, the baptizing will come. Amen. We see Mark 16:16. It is necessary. Jesus said, you know, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. It's a water immersion baptism, not sprinkling, not a baptism of any other than water immersion. We see in Acts 8:38 the Ethiopian eunuch. It had been taught to him. And he said, he sees water and he realizes, what hinders me from being baptized? And they went down into the water. It's for forgiveness of sins. When the Jews on the day of Pentecost realized that they had sin in their life and that they had crucified the Son of God, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter responded, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." In Acts 2:38. Has to be an age of understanding. The text itself that we're using proves that. That you, to make a disciple a follower, you've got to be of an age that you can understand it all. And it's them. You can't do it for it. Wouldn't it be nice if you could? Wouldn't it be nice if you could be baptized for somebody else? And that it would take. Man, we would be wearing that water out. But they've got to do it. We've got to baptize them, not do it for them. Man, there are so many people, I'd be wet all the time if we could do it for them. How do you do it? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You don't just go through, you're not going through the motions on it. You're doing it by the authority of God the Father, of Jesus the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You're doing it for that, not to join a group, it's not a broom that you got to jump over, a hoop that you got to jump through. You're doing it by the authority that they've given. And then you mean we just can't baptize them and send them on their way? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Not just observe and be cognizant of the information. Not just have the information, but to do it. Not just read it and memorize it, but to do it, live it. To teach all things, not the things that are easy, not the things that are convenient. But there are a lot of inconvenient truths in the Bible. And they are commands. And it is the Word of God. If we remember that, it kind of makes it all fall into place. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's scary. It was scary for these 12 men, or later 12 men, it was 11 at the time, to go out into the world. That's a scary proposition, to take the gospel. What if people reject it? What if people reject me? They had the worry too, what if people kill me because of it? And I think I got it bad. They had to worry about being killed. Some will die for that message. But the idea that Jesus will be with them, he is getting ready to leave. He is getting ready to ascend back into heaven. But he says, I will be with you always. Now I tell you, luckily many of us, our parents are still around. But those of us whose parents aren't, we get this. My mom and dad they've been gone for 20 years. My dad over 20 years. My dad is with me every day of my life. He's not right here, but he's with me. His teachings, his love, his attitude are mom's. I don't care. You don't quit being a mom even upon death. I don't know how they do that, but your mom is with you. even more so for the Son of God. He says, I will be with you. I won't be with you physically, but I will be with you. And they could take great confidence in it, and we can too. And it doesn't mean that because he's going to be with them, that everybody they talk to is going to accept it. Not everybody that Jesus talked to accepted it. Jesus was a lot better teacher than I am, than any of us. People rejected Jesus. And he says he'll do it until the end of time. Amen. So be it. That's what amen means. So be it. We need to go into the world. Now, if we all go, who's going to mind the store here? Go can mean right around the corner. Go can mean preach to the people in the next room from you. Go can mean to the people next to you. But Jesus told them, and he's telling us, to go. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, he will be with us even till the end of the age. I want to encourage you this week to go. To the people at work, to the people in your family, to strangers. And share that story of Jesus with them through your example, through your life, through the words of the Bible. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you have not put your Lord on in baptism yet, it is essential. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we can accommodate you. If you need prayers of this group, we can help you with prayers. We know prayer works. It is a powerful, powerful communication with God. If you have been looking for a church home and would like to identify with us here at South Valley and work with us, worship with us, we would love to welcome you. If you have sin in your life and need to repent, get rid of that sin. It's so much easier to go into the world preaching the gospel without lugging around the baggage of sin. Okay? You pay for extra baggage here. It's like some of those airlines. You pay for the extra baggage. And when we're carrying extra bags of sin, worry, fear, you got to pay for it. Whatever your need, if you'd stand, as we stand, come forward, let your needs be known as Colin leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.